expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Are you part of the criminal investigation team?
No, I am not.
Did you go to the scene and evaluate any evidence?
No, I did not.
Did you do any of your own detective work or investigation in this case?
No, I did not.
So when you were asked questions about your role as the medical examiner in your medical evaluation of Mr. O'Keefe's body, you were also asked whether you considered any part of the legal aspect. Do you remember those questions?
Yes.
You were never, well, let me ask you. You submitted the death certificate on April 14th?
Correct.
I want to talk about some of the things that you may or may not have known about or considered at the time you wrote your death certificate or filed your death certificate. Were you informed or were you aware that before you filed your death certificate, there was information in the investigation that police spoke to a first responder by the name of Timothy Nuttall, who reported that the defendant...
I'm going to allow it.
That the defendant said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. Were you aware of that?
I became aware of it at some point.
During your 90-day window?
I believe so.
Were you aware that there was another first responder by the name of McLaughlin who provided information that the defendant said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him?
Yes.
Were you aware of statements made by the defendant to Miss McCabe, that she said, may have I hit him? Did I hit him?
Objection, Your Honor, may we approach, please, briefly?
Okay. Thank you. So, jurors, I want to let you know that, like other evidence that was let in previously, this is not coming in for the truth of what's in the statements. It's coming in so that as it goes to Dr. Scordivello's knowledge and state of mind at the time of her report.
Thank you. At the time of your death certificate that you filed, were you informed that a Jennifer McCabe had reported that the defendant said, did I hit him or could I have hit him multiple times?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow it.
I don't believe I knew about Ms. McCabe.
Did you learn that Ms. McCabe reported later that the defendant, while speaking to first responders, reported that she had hit him? Did you know that?
I was aware of that information later on.
Were you aware of the investigation regarding alcohol consumption?
Yes.
Were you aware that the police or Massachusetts State Police spoke to other witnesses about their observations that night?
About their?
Their observations?
Yes. Okay.
Were you aware of an interview by Trooper Bukenik with firefighter Daniel Whitley on February 7, 2022?
I don't remember.
Were you aware that Mr. Whitley told the police that the defendant had expressed that she had gotten into an argument with the defendant that night?
That was part of the information I was given, yes.
Were you aware of a report from first responder Anthony Flamate about statements made by the defendant to him?
I don't recall that particular first responder, no.
Were you aware of statements provided by Kerry Roberts to the police that the defendant had called her, citing Kerry, 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 John is dead?
Yeah, I was given that information.
And the questions of did I hit him, were you aware of that?
Yes.
Were you aware of information that troopers had an opportunity to go and speak to the defendant?
Yes.
Were you aware of the statements that she made to the troopers?
Not in detail.
Were you aware that when they spoke to her on January 29th, she informed that she had a broken taillight on her vehicle but did not know how it happened?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow that.
Yes, I was provided with that information.
Were you provided the information that she had never observed John enter the residence?
I believe that was part of the original information, yes.
Were you aware that she informed, relative to the broken right taillight, she didn't know how it happened?
Yes, I was.
Were you aware that members of the Massachusetts State Police obtained John O'Keefe's phone and did a forensic data analysis on it?
I was not aware of that until much, much later.
After you filed your report?
Correct.
Were you aware of location data that was obtained from John O'Keefe's phone before you filed the death certificate?
No, I was not.
Were you aware of healthcare data on John O'Keefe's phone before you filed the death certificate?
No, I was not.
Were you aware of battery temperature data on Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone before you filed the death certificate?
No, I was not.
Were you aware of voice messages left on John O'Keefe's phone from the defendant before you filed your death certificate?
No, I was not.
Were you aware of text messages between the defendant and John O'Keefe before you filed your death certificate?
No.
Were you aware of statements from the defendant to various media outlets before you filed your death certificate?
No, I was not.
Did anybody ever come to you after you filed your death certificate and ask you to change it?
No.
Did anybody ever provide you any of this additional information you weren't aware of at the time, ask you to evaluate it and then reconsider your finding?
No.
You were asked some questions about impact injuries. In your experience, are most pedestrian collisions where there's injuries to the lower legs either frontal or rear impacts?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow that.
Most pedestrian fatalities that we see are with impact with the front of the vehicle.
When you gave the perspective that you looked for impact injuries, was that with consideration of your experience that most collisions are frontal impact injuries?
Most collisions involve frontal impact, yes.
How about cases where you've had an opportunity to observe people who sustained injuries from being clipped, not hit, but just being clipped is your opinion any different in your experience?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. Sustained in that form.
Okay. How about a sideswipe injury? Is that different relative to your expectations to lower extremity injuries?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
A bruise on the knee. Is that consistent with a sideswipe impact?
Could be.
Did you do any type of biomechanical analysis of the any alleged collision in this case?
No, I did not.
Were you asked to?
I'm not qualified to do that.
And so when you talk about injuries from a collision, are you in part speculating about what could happen to somebody?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained in that form.
Are you giving a direct opinion in this case about how the injuries were caused?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You were asked questions about a nose laceration.
Yes.
And you offered that was not consistent with falling backwards on the head alone?
Correct.
You were asked if that was consistent with a punch?
Correct.
Objection, Your Honor.
That's not the testimony. That's your objection, Mr.
Yeah, that is your honor. There's not a question.
Did you provide an opinion that it could be consistent with a punch?
I did provide that opinion.
Could it be consistent with broken glass?
It's possible.
Could it be consistent with sharp shards from broken plastic?
Possible.
Could it be consistent with first aid?
I'm sorry, what was it?
Could it be consistent with first aid treatment?
Anything is possible.
Do you have any firsthand knowledge of how the laceration on the nose happened?
I do not have firsthand knowledge.
Did you know at the time you filed your death certificate that there was plastic pieces of taillight found near Mr. O'Keefe's body around 5:45 p.m. on January 29, 2022?
I do believe some of that information was communicated to us, yes.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lessie.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Scorti Bello, Attorney Brennan just asked you questions about alcohol consumption. You had the opportunity to evaluate the medical records of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
And you had, in terms of the medical records, information with regard to the medications that Mr. O'Keefe had taken, is that correct?
I believe I reviewed those records at some point prior to issuing my report, yes.
Do you recall the list of medications that were in the medical records that Mr. O'Keefe was on?
I do not recall.
If I were to show you a document, might that refresh your recollection as to the list of medications?
I'm going to allow it. Is in connection with alcohol, too, you said,
correct,
right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Go right ahead. Yes.
Dr. Scorti Bello, may I stand by the witness chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Scorti Bello, I am providing you with a document. Up at the top it says John O'Keefe, and I would like to draw your attention to medications. And to expedite it, I am going to focus on the fourth item on that list. Can you state what that medication is?
The fourth item is omeprazole.
Right. Does that refresh your recollection as to one of the medications Mr. O'Keefe was on?
Yes.
And that medication is?
It's an antacid.
Right. And so omeprazole is the trade name of omeprazole Pepcid?
I believe so.
And Pepcid is a proton pump inhibitor?
Correct.
And a proton pump inhibitor stops the proton pump in the stomach from releasing acid, correct?
Yes.
And we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but do you also recall testifying at the grand jury with regard to alcohol consumption and potential alcohol consumption of Mr. O'Keefe?
I do remember testifying, yes.
And do you recall what your testimony was with regard to alcohol consumption and small ulcers in the stomach potentially associated with alcohol consumption?
Alcohol consumption, I don't recall my exact words at grand jury, yeah, but alcohol consumption can lead to gastric ulcers.
And alcohol consumption can lead to gastric ulcers, and what medications can treat gastric ulcers?
Well, they don't treat them, they prevent them, but that would be a proton pump inhibitor such as omeprazole.
Right. So, isn't it correct, therefore, that the ulcers that are observed in the stomach of Mr. O'Keefe that we talked about, the gastric mucosa, could have come from ulceration due to alcohol consumption?
It's possible.
As opposed to hypothermia, correct?
Correct.
Attorney Brennan asked you questions moments ago, and actually several of them, of which included the words, did I hit him, could I hit him? Do you recall that, those questions?
I do.
And isn't it correct that you had that information before you issued your final findings in this matter in April of 2022?
Yes, I did.
So, even though you had all that information, you still were unable to conclude the manner of death of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
Thank you, Dr. Scordibello.
All right, doctor, you are all set.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm going to see counsel at sidebar.
All right, so jurors, that is it for today. I'm told that we are on schedule. So with that, I'm going to let you go a few minutes early. So please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know, and be very careful with your social media use. So we'll see you tomorrow morning.
The rest of the jury. Seated.
All right, so Mr. Lessie, I'll hear you. I'll hear you, Mr. Lessie.
Thank you, Your Honor. The topic I would like to raise with Your Honor is the timing and nature and significance of the information that the defense has received from the firm Aperture. And Your Honor may recall there are two individuals on the witness list that we understand are to testify in this matter. First is Dr. Judson Welter, and the second is Shannon Burgess.
And are they testifying in reverse order, though, than what you said?
My understanding is, Your Honor, yes.
Okay.
My understanding, Mr. Brennan has the best information, is that it's proposed that Mr. Burgess testifies first and Dr. Welter testifies thereafter.
Okay.
So the Commonwealth has established in reports right up until May, not established, they had stated in the reports of Aperture, particularly the slide presentation of Dr. Welcher, a trigger called 1162-2 that they had associated in the report of Dr. Welcher with a specific time. And that specific time that they have associated with that trigger is 12:31:38 to 12:31:43. And we have been assuming that information, and this is from best memory, but I believe it's slide 137 or so, where the statement is in the slide. And so we have proceeded with our defense. We have proceeded with the work that has been assigned to ARCA based upon that time period. On May 8th, not too long ago, Your Honor, we received an amended report of Shannon Burgess that pushes that time period.
No, I'm just going to get it.
So, although it was dated May 8th, we received it actually on May 11th. And in that report, Mr. Burgess states that he is making an amendment, and he is now stating that that infotainment trigger of 1162-2 is further back in time, and it is past 12:31:43.
Do you have the time?
I'm going to get the exact time, Your Honor. It is 12:32:16. And Your Honor may recall that the seconds, literally seconds, matter in the analysis of many factors. I won't go into them other than to say I went through and developed testimony with regard to the cross-examination of Mr. Whiffen. He had a timeline. He talked about much human volitional conduct. Suffice it to say that that information is literally, by seconds, determinative in some ways of various analyses. So we basically commissioned, if you will, ARCA to be looking at matters based upon the infotainment trigger 1162-2 of 12:31:38 to 12:31:43. It is as of May 11th, we received information that has changed that. Now, Your Honor, that is a Rule 14 violation, among other issues, but I wanted to start there. It's a Rule 14 violation. It's obviously, as I stated, an amendment of a report of a significant matter. And also, with regard to the defense's ability to provide a defense, we have to be able to evaluate that information in terms of our entire defense. And it's just not limited to ARCA. It's our entire defense. The other data point I want to get to, so the effect it's had, we still haven't even been able to evaluate entirely that. And I believe, Your Honor, based upon the information that I have, that this may have been a calculated matter by the Commonwealth, but even assuming it's not calculated, the effect is pronounced. So what I want to do, Your Honor, is to look at what the reason Mr. Burgess has given, which leads me to be very concerned about a calculation and a strategy calculation here. Mr. Burgess states in his own words that the reason why he is changed, that time is being changed, is to, quote, align the trigger with Mr. Whiffen's analysis. And Mr. Whiffen's analysis is based upon the extraction data from Mr. O'Keefe's phone. And I believe it's undisputed that the extraction from Mr. O'Keefe's phone occurred years ago. And the data from that has been extant, it's been available years ago. So to me, Your Honor, that basis can't be a proper basis, at particularly this stage where we are approaching the end of the trial, just literally days before the testimony of Aperture, and we are in a very, very almost impossible, challenging situation. So, Your Honor, there are obviously, Your Honor knows the situation here. Our first request is that the May 8th report that we received on May 11th be not allowed, that it be not considered at all. As Your Honor knows, I don't like to use hyperbolic words, but the word has been used for us, against us, ambush, ambush, ambush. If there's ever an example of an ambush, this is it. And so, Your Honor, our request is that Your Honor find a Rule 14 violation, that Your Honor have the remedy be that the violation, remedy be that this is not allowed, and that the Commonwealth proceed with its the information of Aperture that has been extant before the May 8th date of the report. Thank you.
All right. Do you have another option if that's not something that we do, right? Because the Commonwealth moved to exclude ACCA or have them go by their old report, right?
Right. And Your Honor, I'm going to answer your question, but with just the quick point that this is really much different than ACCA because two reasons. We are the defense, and ARCA is a rebuttal to the prosecution's case. That is much different than a prosecution changing its theory of the case at this time.
I understand that. I'm just asking if you have another option.
It's not what I am saying that I am proffering. I think the only remedy here is exclusion and a Rule 14 violation.
And you're not waiving that.
Oh, I'm not waiving that.
No, I'm not asking you to.
Your Honor.
Okay, a continuance for how long?
I could have a better answer perhaps to that question tomorrow. I haven't given what's been going on. I haven't even had a chance to talk to ARCA at
all. Right, so tomorrow morning, let me know that. All right, I'm...
In Your Honor, I will do that, of course. And I will also say, without getting into an elaboration of it, we have to look at all the witnesses that we called. I'll give you an example. Mr. Whiffen, I had my whole a significant part of my cross-examination of Mr. Whiffen based upon going through human volitional conduct off that phone that was after that 1162 trigger. And a lot of our defense and theory is based upon that's been in existence now for several months. And again, I go to the bottom line that the proffered reason in Mr. Burgess's report is to align with the data on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, and then that's been around for a long time. So that's my answer to Your Honor's question.
All right, thank you. Mr. Brennan.
Your Honor, this disclosure is not a Rule 14 violation. The Commonwealth, just like the defense, is entitled, continues to work on their case and study their case as time goes on. This issue, the relevance of this issue, has been clear throughout the case, including my opening statement. And the issue is that clocks are different. There is a clock in a Lexus that runs on a different time than that of an iPhone. And if you recall in my opening statement, I talked about the fact that there are variances between those clocks. So instead of a moment that coincides happening at the precise second, sometimes there's a variance of time between the two. So the Lexus clock could be at a variance with an iPhone, but the event still could happen at the same time given the clocks have different times. The defense provided a report by a person by the name of Mr. DeSorga, a noted expert witness who they've listed as a witness they may potentially call. Mr. DeSorga wrote a report, and in the report he suggested, based on his analysis, that Mr. O'Keefe's phone always ran late. That means if the text stream data, the black box data from the car, has a event at 12:31:38, and Mr. O'Keefe's last movements were 12:32:16, last user interaction 12:32:09, there is a variance between those times. We asked our expert to review their expert's report to see if he was accurate that the variance means that these times would never align. And that's what he did. He studied the data, he studied the Waze, he studied the Lexus black box relative to the time. Doesn't change anything, doesn't change the data whatsoever, just adds to the time. What he learned from his opinion is that Mr. DeSorga was wrong. He used information from different phones, not recognizing the items that these timelines came from, and that his time estimates are wrong. So then he looked at the time of the event of the ignition on and off, and he compared that to the Waze data. And when he did, he found that he could identify what the actual differential was. Instead of guessing that it was within the 30-second window, it was somewhere around 21 to 25 seconds. And that 7 minutes before the collision, Mr. O'Keefe's phone was 21 to 29 seconds ahead, which means you subtract that time, which puts it in the same variance that we've been arguing from the beginning, that the collision occurred at the same moments when Mr. O'Keefe last had user interaction, and that reconciles with the data. It does not change the text stream data or the black box information on the car whatsoever. It does not change ARCA's analysis whatsoever. We received this report on May 8th. I was surprised to receive it. I welcomed it. We turned it over on May 8th. There was no delay. It's been a week now the defense has had this information. And so this is not an attempt to align anything. While it may reconcile or identify that variance more closely, it doesn't change any data whatsoever. And so this is not a Rule 14 violation. The effort was in response to disclosures that we believe were wrong by the defense expert, and it's clarified and it is favorable for us. And so we should be able to use it.
Did you intend to use it in your case in chief, or only if this witness disorder, I don't remember reading that name, so I don't know how to pronounce it.
In my case in chief, because we now have this available data. As I said, this wasn't ambush, isn't something that we sat on. It was in response. Fortunately, we received their expert report, which caused us to focus more closely. And now that we have identified that variance, rather than having an open variance of 30 seconds, we should not be precluded from favorable information that has been provoked by a report by the defense.
Okay. Yes.
I'll do it quickly.
Okay.
Attorney Brennan has provided a lot of information, and he has accurately provided information, but he's got the time completely wrong and the significance respectfully completely wrong. I'm going to hit his four categories quickly. He said he referenced Mr. DeSorbo, who is a defense witness. Two points about Mr. DeSorbo. First, Mr. DeSorbo provided his expert report within the reciprocal discovery deadline.
Okay.
And he provided that report months ago.
Okay.
So if, as I heard Attorney Brennan, he's saying the reason why we're getting something on May 8th is because Mr. Burgess supposedly is responding to that. That was months ago. Okay. The more apt point is, or an even more apt point is, Mr. DeSorbo was responding to the information of Aperture. It wasn't like Mr. DeSorbo was coming up. He was rebutting as defendants do. So, and it's Mr. DeSogra, D-I-S-O-G-R-A. Again, D-I-S-O-G-R-A. So that's an important point with regard to Mr. DeSogra. Now I want to go to Attorney Brennan's comment about clocks are different. I agree with Attorney Brennan on that. The shortcoming for Attorney Brennan's argument, however, is that the clocks are different concept has been in existence in this case for over 6 months. I can give you by memory Mr. Whiffen's report of December of 2024, where his report went into the different clocks and what their significance was. So that is almost 6 months ago, at least 5 months ago, the issue of different clocks has been in existence in this case. So therefore, the issue of different clocks dates back to then. But even more fatal for the Commonwealth's argument is that Mr. Burgess himself issued his report and talked about the difference in clocks. He already knew it. He already had it.
Did he testify to that last time? Did he testify?
Aperture was not part of the first trial.
All right. I thought Burgess was, no?
No, neither. Okay. No one from Aperture was.
I knew Honor. Aperture was, and I thought he may have been something. The name just sounded.
Neither familiar. Burgess nor Welcher were okay. Part of the first trial. But they were retained. Aperture was retained. I believe in October of 2024.
Okay.
And at best for the Commonwealth, Aperture had, and Mr. Burgess and, Mr. And Dr. Welcher had Mr. Whiffen's report that talked about the clock differences. So the clock differences cannot be, as the Commonwealth is proffering, some sort of new information that caused Aperture to provide a new report. This variance that Attorney Brennan talked about, it's called the clock drift. A more layperson's term is a variance of time. Mr. Burgess, in his original report months ago, has a whole section on clock drift. That's not a new concept for him. He's just changing the drift.
Okay. So what I'd like to do, because I want to address the other issue and I don't want to keep people here too long, can you wrap it up, Mr. Alessi, or is that...
In 60 seconds.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor... The last point I wanted to make, and I think I heard Attorney Brennan correctly, is he said he was surprised that he got this report dated May 8th. That's what I heard. So if the Commonwealth is surprised that they got it, that should mean, to me, Your Honor, be an outstanding fetching reason to not allow it, because they're surprised to get it. And I can lastly say this, Your Honor, there's nobody that's more surprised to getting this than the defendant when we got it on May 11th.
Okay, thank you. The other issue about calling your expert on rebuttal, Mr. Brennan, based on the late disclosure of the ACCA materials. What's your argument on that?
I won't iterate the entire past, but Your Honor has found discovery violations. Your Honor has found that the efforts of the defense were improper. And inevitably, we've now received an extraordinary amount of discovery on the most important issue in this case, well beyond the discovery deadlines, without any excuse. And the court, understandably, has overruled government's objection and has stated that it is going to allow the defense to proffer two expert witnesses in a very complicated field, in an issue that is the heart of this case, if you're going to allow them to testify, despite the fact that we have not had adequate time to review and to prepare and to address it. The Commonwealth has the burden of proof. The Commonwealth has an obligation to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. And this isn't simply late disclosure of some evidence. This is a massive amount of evidence of the most critical issue. And so we provided this information to Dr. Wexler. As you know, he was away. He did not get a report until maybe May 7th. He did not have a chance to look at it until May 9th. An extraordinary amount of work, effort, and expense has gone into preparing our case for the jury. He is still in the process of reviewing the materials. There are entirely new subject areas within this information, well beyond the simple four opinions that they gave at the beginning. There are studies, there are demonstrations, there are experiments. This requires not only review, but an analysis, testing, vetting, and then preparing testimony to address the claims made by the defense experts. Not to get into a battle of disparagement, but our expert has found extraordinary issues in his first reviews of material. And some of those concerns lead him to need, in his opinion, to actually conduct his own tests to demonstrate the failures of these ARCA witnesses. That's going to take time. You've heard from the ARCA witnesses themselves. With the amount of data they received, they estimated they needed 5 weeks. And they were given 5 weeks despite all the discovery deadline violations. They were given 5 weeks. We did not get the report until May 7th. And so we believe we are entitled to have our expert review all the materials, do his testing, provide opinions. None of that is going to happen anytime soon, because he still has not finished reviewing all the materials. There's many, many gigabytes. He is in a difficult schedule. He is away tomorrow, Saturday. We will go in to try to begin to prep at the end of the weekend. There is no way he's going to be able to testify anytime soon and have all of this validation and vetting and testing.
So what is it exactly you're proposing?
So what would we like to do is have him testify about what he has prepared, that he's had adequate time to prepare. If either of these ARCA witnesses testify and they introduce new opinions, new testing, new demonstrations, he should be able to continue reviewing the materials, actively engage his own testing now, so by the time the defense case is over, he will be prepared to come back and address the new issues, not the older issues or regurgitate his testimony, but to address any new issues that were provided in violation of discovery orders. And so that he can then address the jury on those specific new issues. I see no other way of this expert fairly being provided, presented to the jury. The unfair prejudice cannot be cured in any other way. So we ask that he be able to continue his review, offer rebuttal opinions on anything that is new, and not to encroach on anything that's been previously provided.
Can Burgess testify after Welcher?
No, because Dr. Welcher relies on Shannon Burgess's information and material. It will make no sense. I thought about it. It makes no sense to the jury, his presentation, unless Shannon Burgess has an opportunity to provide the background information.
All right. Mr. Lassie, I'll hear you on this.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think and I understand that it's very well understand the time of the day, so I'm going to do this hopefully efficiently. When we're talking about ARCA and the information of ARCA, it's very important analytically to put them in their two proper buckets. The first bucket is the information and opinions of ARCA that have been in existence since February of 2024.
Yeah, let's focus on the beyond. Let's focus on
okay, good, because my pithy conclusion is there should be no prejudice on that.
And I don't think the Commonwealth's even suggesting that. So
we're focusing just on the, quote, new information right. bucket. Your Honor, it's very important to understand that what ARCA is doing is in response to the testing of aperture. ARCA did not come up with new approaches. We, again, to state the obvious, are the defense. We get to rebut what the prosecution has put forward. And so what ARCA has done with the new information, new testing, is simply to rebut what aperture has done. So I do not understand the length of time or the lift, if you will, that's being proffered for aperture. Now with regard to the time period, Your Honor has already determined what the appropriate approach is for the new information from ARCA. You, when Dr. Rentschler was on the stand, and Dr. What, you said, when can you get me the information? And they said, I think it was May 6th or May 7th, whatever, and they met the deadline. They did it. We proceeded along with the trial with that information. We complied with that request to continually try to claim that there should be ongoing remedies of something that's already been decided. I do not understand.
So yes. I did leave open. I did leave it open to address.
You did leave open the time, but Your Honor didn't leave open that you were going to continue to address this matter as if the defense is making perpetual violations. There was a determination made, and then the question was the remedy. So I'm just addressing the Commonwealth, okay, positing that somehow there's continuing violations. My final 2 points. What Mr. Brennan is seeking is improper. What it's seeking is the most extraordinary situation, which is have aperture come before the jury, testify to certain things, have ARCA have to come on, and then have aperture come back and essentially have almost a rebuttal to a rebuttal as of right. I do not understand that process. I do not understand that proposal. It inverts the order of proof. It prejudices the defendant because it almost ipso facto gives a double rebuttal to the defense. I believe, Your Honor, the final point is, if Your Honor is inclined to give aperture more time, and I haven't even heard a deadline yet for Dr. Welcher. It's still open. What I would recommend, Your Honor, is that we follow the proper order of proof. We determine when aperture can conclude its review of the ARCA work, and that there be a reflection that keeps the order, namely that the prosecution comes in with aperture, Dr. Welcher and Mr. Burgess, and then the defense, as part of its case in chief, puts on ARCA, and we make the determination as to what happens there. Otherwise, what we're happening is here, it's almost a self-serving matter where the Commonwealth is getting to put on certain witnesses here from our witnesses and then have an automatic rebuttal. And Your Honor, I just think that's improper and prejudicial. There's another, and importantly, it's a burden shifting to the defense.
All right, so I have a question for you, Mr. Lessie. Are you still thinking that if the defense puts on a defense, that will take roughly a week and a half for that to take place?
That is our best estimate still, Your Honor.
And not holding you to this, because obviously you have no burden. If ARCA is part of that defense, when in that week and a half time frame would that be?
We haven't made a final decision, Your Honor, but we're pretty close that it would be toward the end.
Okay. All right. I needed all this information now, so I appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Court, all rise.
Goodbye.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.